Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you on Blog Talk Radio, all over the world on Christmas morning. It is good to have you with us today. See if we can get YouTube up here. It'll be all right. It's just an app. It's just an app that has to bow its knee to the things of God because it is not the one in control. God Almighty is in control of this thing. Well, welcome, everybody. Here we go. So those of you that's around the world, while I set up for YouTube, again, we welcome you. We thank God for you. Thank God that you're a part of this amazing work of God that he's doing called the Community of Faith. And here we go. Let's see if it'll work this time. Copy and paste. There it is. We're getting closer. I guess I'm going to have to stop talking so I can concentrate. Anyways, welcome everybody. It's good to have you with us here today. I'm sure many of you are right in the middle of your Christmas celebration. So welcome, welcome, welcome. As you can see, I'm in the kitchen studio. I like this on Sunday
morning.
You
are right in the middle of your
because
celebration. So welcome, welcome, welcome. As you can see.
Here we go.
You
know, on Christmas Day, we continually get a greater and greater understanding of who God is in our life. And you know, every year as we begin to, as we study who God is, more and more every year, this is how we come to a greater understanding of the Word of God. Now, you know, it's part of the Christmas story, and we'll get to it here in a minute as we read the Christmas story and share with you the word that we have for today. But, you know, even Jesus, I know that this stretches some people when you say this, but even Jesus had to grow up in the kingdom of God, even Jesus. And we'll read that today. And as we read it, we'll be like, people will be, I know many people are like, geez, Pastor, isn't that something? Many people are continually like, you know, Pastor, you stretch me every time I get here. That's what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to stretch you every time you come here. Because you and I got to walk with God like Jesus did. And I'm supposed to stretch you every time you come here. Now think about this. Even Jesus himself had to grow in God. And, you know, today that's what this program is all about. It's about the fact that of his kingdom there shall be no end. To order it, to establish it, and the prophet Isaiah said, forward and even forevermore. Even forevermore. And you can't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what religious indoctrination you've come from. You might have been an atheist and just come to God. All of a sudden, you have to look around and begin to say, wait a minute. There's too much of this earth that actually has an amazing order to it to not believe that there's a supreme being that has made it what it's supposed to be all throughout history. And Kathy Angaroni, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We welcome you. Make sure you tell Teresa we've been praying for her and speaking life and life more abundantly to her in Jesus' mighty name. You know, I'm not sure what the weather is where you're at, but according to all the weather, the weather masters, you know, the weathermen, we're supposed to be having like a severe deal. And we've kind of been over our severe deal, and it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful night last night. Very calm here. Very beautiful night. And then, man, you look out there. It's like one really serious blowing, snowing storm again has landed upon us. So wherever you may be around the world, we hope and pray that you are enjoying your Christmas morning with all of the Christmas season happiness, love, joy, cheer, and snow, if you got it. I saw a report out of Florida yesterday, and it showed a picture of a guy, and he's out in his yard, and there's an iguana in the yard. That iguana is probably about that long, 2 feet. And he just reached down and picked him up, and the iguana's like this, you know. And obviously, it's so cold in Florida, it froze the iguana. And so the whole news report was, hey, don't bring them in your house to try to warm them up, because then you got to pick them up and get them out. The guy on the report said, just move the iguana somewhere where the sun can shine on him and he'll go on his way. I think that's a really cool statement. Can you imagine? You see this poor iguana out in your yard, and he's about 2.5-3 feet long, and you feel sorry for him, so you bring him in the house. And as soon as it warms up, how are you going to get him out of the house now? You got to pick that rascal up and carry him up. Anyways, well, a Merry Christmas to those of you that's in Florida and in the southern states. Now, listen, if you like a beautiful Christmas program that plays a lot of Christmas music, go to my Facebook page. Last night, I posted on there a Christmas program from Rodney Howard Brown's church. And it's pretty cool. Tampa, Florida, and they're all dressed up in their winter clothes like they're freezing really bad. I don't know how cold it actually was, but it's a great, great program. It's about 2 hours long, full of Christian music and Christmas music, and you'll thoroughly enjoy that. We like to put stuff like that up for you. So welcome, 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 welcome. Let's get into the Word of God for us today. You know, wherever you're at, whatever you're experiencing for weather, the Word of God is always, 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 always the same. You ready? Pull the Bible up and make your confession with us this morning. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I go do what he tells me to do.
I go do what he tells me to do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
And this Word is changing my life.
And this Word is changing my life.
Because that's what it's designed by God to do.
Because that's what it's designed by God to do.
I receive it as a seed.
I receive it as a seed.
Plant it in the good soil of my heart.
Plant it in the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Love, I'm not sure about your situation. Are you set up to make a verse list?
I
When we get finished, Sister Lana, make a verse list for us. It's going to be a good program today. You're going to want to keep these verses and then get them and study them. You got to get this and study it, all right? So our first set of verses is out of Luke chapter 2. Now, usually, whatever my subject is, I like to read my verse that deals with that subject right off. But hey, I'm going to do it different today because it's important to read these verses first, even though it's not the theme. It's all about the kingdom. I love my church. Christmas is all about Jesus being born, but it's really all about the kingdom because of what the prophecies say. Now watch this. Luke chapter 2, and let's go down here to verse number 39 and 40. Actually, let's say 30 through 52. I'm not going to read it all because I got too much to read today. But verses 39 to 52, this is after Jesus is dedicated in the temple, 39. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. That's where Jesus would grow up because Jesus is was going to be called a Nazarene. All right, now watch. Look at verse 40. And the child grew. The child grew. And the child became strong in spirit. And the child was filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, you might say, even Jesus had to grow? Guys, it doesn't matter. Hey, Dennis Nelson, welcome. It doesn't matter how bad this stretches you today, how much this stretches you. Mary had to change Jesus' diaper. If you can't let the reality of the of your life be, you'll glorify this whole situation to a point you can't do it. Don't do that. Jesus had to wear a diaper. Some people are like, Pastor, you can't even talk about that. He had to eat food. And he was on this earth as a man. He was literally on this earth as a man. So this verse, Luke 2:40 says, and the child grew. He had to grow up. He was a human. He was this big, and 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 he was that tall. He had to grow. Let's go on. And 41, and his parents went to Jerusalem every year. When he was 12 years old, they went. So now, between verse 40 and verse 42, 12 years have happened in those three verses. All right? So now Jesus has grown a whole bunch by the time he's 12. My grandson is 12. Or is he 13? Josiah, how old are you? Anyways, he's a grown boy. Now he's in the temple, and he's listening to the preachers preach and the rabbis, and he's asking questions, and he's speaking to them, and they're like, whoa, this kid knows some stuff, all right? Look what it says. Verse 49, he said to his mother and father when they finally found him, you didn't know I was going to be about my father's business? He didn't say ministry. He said my father's business. God don't waste words, folks. What happens in church is we get this weird religiosity view of God. You can't have it. God is real. God's about houses and couches and chairs and refrigerators and coffee makers. God's about toilet paper, napkins, and paper towels. God knows you got to wash your clothes and dry them. We got to let God get into every part of our life and not be some weirded out, crazy, weird religious being. Watch. And so Mary and Joseph's like, well, yeah, probably so. You're going to be about the Father's business. Look at verse 51 and 52. He went down with them, came to Nazareth. Don't miss this next phrase. And was subject to them. Jesus, he had the Christ anointing on him, was subject to his dad, his stepdad, Joseph, who was of the line of kings of Judah, and Mary, his mother. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. That means he grew up. He had to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. Because nobody on the face of this earth gets to skirt verse 52. Nobody. Every one of us are going to have to go through verse 52. Increase in wisdom, increase in stature, increase in favor with God, and increase his favor with man. Every one of us. And whenever we try to short circuit verse 52, we create a religiosity mess for ourselves. We glorify a church, we glorify a pastor, we glorify an organization, and we realize, wait a minute, I can't glorify none of this. I got to just get myself back to this. I've got to grow. I've got to grow up in my height. I'm probably as tall as I'm going to be, unless I get a nice pair of cowboy boots with a bigger heel. But I got to grow in wisdom now. I'm all the way grown in my physical body. Now I got to grow in wisdom and in favor with God and in favor with man. Now, let's grab our verses. Remember, we're going to study this. It's all about the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for my church, but it's all about the kingdom. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go clear back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3. We've done this throughout this whole Christmas season, but it's all right. We're going to do it again. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They got it. They got everything. And then here shows up this serpent, and he's talking to Eve. And Eve should have said, get out of my garden. Quit talking to me. Get out of here. She didn't. And then Adam should have said to that serpent, get out of this garden. And he didn't. They had control over everything. They were given dominion over the whole garden and over the whole earth. Well, then the serpent begins to talk to Eve, begins to put doubt in her mind about God. She takes of the fruit. Adam's standing there watching her and doesn't say, spit that out of your mouth. And then take a stick and beat that demon, the devil. They eat, they sin, they're naked. God shows up in the garden and says, Adam, where are you? Verse 9, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Genesis 3, 9. Why was Adam hiding? Because he sinned. And what does sin cause you to do? So you get yourself right in your brain, in your understanding, causes you to hide. Don't run from God, run to him. Adam and Eve, what they do? They hid. They ran from God. And they're like, well, I was naked and I was ashamed. And God's like, well, who told you was naked? Let's go down to verse 14. And the Lord said, I'm going to do 14 through 16. Thank you, Lord. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. The snake is cursed more than all the cattle. Don't bring that and put it in your house and call it a pet. God cursed it more than all the cattle. And more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. He lost his legs. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Look at this word, he. He is capitalized. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. We'll crush his head. That's what every great patriarch of the Word of God did through all of history. They crushed the enemy's head, and the enemy can't stop him. Didn't stop Abraham. Didn't stop Isaac. Didn't stop Jacob. Even though Jacob allowed grief to have control of him for 20 years, God restored the years. And Jacob was able to see Joseph and live on when he got to Egypt. Keep reading, verse 16. To the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception and pain. You'll bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now think about this. God cursed the devil and said to the woman, well, now you got to give, and giving birth, it's going to cause you pain. To the man, you're going to have to sweat. Well, then Jesus came to deliver us from the curse of the law, and he did. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We are now about 750 years before Jesus comes. Isaiah the prophet is prophesying. Watch this. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is given. That's what today is celebrating all over the whole world. Want to say it? Merry Christmas. Jesus is born. I had to give you a chance to say it because I wanted to drink a coffee. Unto us a son is given. Well, what's that mean, a son? The Son of God. God took Jesus, putting him in an embryo, and stuck him inside Mary's womb by faith. And Jesus is now a son of man. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful. He lives in you. Counselor. He lives in you. Mighty God. He lives in you. Everlasting Father, he lives in you. Prince of Peace lives in you. Remember our verse in Luke 2? We got to grow in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. We got to get verse 6 going on the inside of us. Wonderful is in us. Counselor is in us. Mighty God, he's in us. Everlasting Father, he lives in here. And the Prince of Peace lives in us. How many of us have had to fight that battle of peace? Why? Jesus came to give life, but the enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to set up steal, kill, and destroy all around us. And you and I, in the middle of it, got to say, whoop, whoop, I'm going to expose the devil. That's the devil, that's the devil, that's the devil, that's the devil. Why? Because the Prince of Peace lives in here. Don't make somebody else watch your mouth. You watch your own mouth. When the Prince of Peace lives in here, the Spirit of Peace is supposed to come out of your lips. I'm going to tell you right now, ain't a one of us that's ever going to get away from this. We're going to have to, for the rest of our lives, say, whoop. Don't make somebody else do it. You do it. Whoa, wait a minute. What just came out of my mouth was not the Prince of Peace. Please forgive me. I speak peace. See, the greatest message you can learn on Christmas Day is Jesus came to this earth to live in us and show us that a man anointed by the Holy Spirit who lives in the Word can conquer this world and no enemy can stop it. And he is the perfect example. Every part of God that I just read to you is living in you right now, today. Right now, today. You can argue about doctrines. You can argue about denominations. You can argue about all that stuff, but stop it. God lives in here. And he's given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling everybody around us to him. Not to us. You can't solve everybody's problems. Everybody's got to solve their own problems. You have got to stand alongside of them in faith and say, you thought about that verse? You thought about that verse? Look at what God's doing here. Look what he's doing over there. But you can't make them change. You can just stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and be that loving, well, and be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace right next to him, because that's who you are. The Prince of Peace is going to cause what comes out of here to be peaceful as soon as we get this mind to get submitted under you, the Spirit, and say, brain, you shut up. You're only going to speak the words I'm going to tell you to speak, and it's going to come straight from his word. Even Jesus, it doesn't matter what you've been taught, even Jesus had to grow. And God, well, yeah, but Pastor, he was God. It was easy for him to go, no, because then he's not a perfect example of how to live on this earth. If he did it as God, you and I can stand by and say, wow, look what God did. But when he does it as man, you and I have to say, hold it. Now I gotta fix me. Because he just proved to me that he did it as man. Let's keep reading verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David over his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Joseph, Jesus' father, had they not sinned and gone into subjection to all those other nations, Joseph's father would have been the king reigning on the throne of David at that point. You see what it says? Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish it from this time forward. I just learned that this Christmas. I'm so excited about this revelation. Because when the kings from the east came, they brought a gift for two kings, Joseph and Jesus. Jesus was a king and a priest, and the example of who you and I are, Revelation chapter 1, 5 and 6. Get these verses and study it and study it and say, man, I got to get a hold of this. Because the increase of his governments on this earth has never gone down. It's only increased. Even right now, in the middle of everything, you can look around this world, and if all you do is look at the governments, you'll say, man, this place is going to hell in a handbasket. But if you look around the world and see everybody that's doing something in God, you'll be like, wow, God is moving on this earth mightily. You go to Franklin Graham, he's got millions of followers. You go to some of the great leaders like Brother Copeland, he's got millions of followers. Brother followers, Jesse's got millions. Andrew Womack has millions. The guy in California's got millions. David Oyedepo got millions.
Stephen Furtick.
Well, yeah, he's got millions.
Oh.
No, I was thinking of Bill Johnson. Here's the thing. Why are you saying all those names? You look at Dr. Barclay, he's all over the world. Why are you saying this, Pastor? Because if all you do is look at governments of the earth, you'll say, it's all over. Nothing we can do. But if you look around the world to see what God is doing, and is anything big happening in God, it's happening all over this world. All over the whole world. People like our young people are just destroyed. There's no hope for them. Lou Engle gets 50, 75,000 of them to come together and pray. Fast and pray. Can't say that God's not doing something. YWAM, Youth with a Mission, these organizations are crushing our enemy all over the world. See, it's what you look at that's going to limit or give life to what's inside of you and to the Word of God. Till Jesus comes, governments are going to still go downhill. But until Jesus comes, the increase of his kingdom in peace, there'll be no end. There'll be no end. What are you and I looking at? Because what you're looking at will decide whether you're happy or depressed. It'll decide whether you have peace or war. I think about the Apostle Paul. We've just read through the book of Acts and read the word. What that man faced was just amazing. And yet every time, God brought him right out of it. Brought him right through it. And he preached to every great world leader there was in that day. He preached to them all. That was his assignment. All of his men that were with the Apostle Paul, man, they just transformed their world. Timothy in Ephesus, Titus in Crete, Aristarchus. And I don't have all these names memorized, but man, those guys started great churches. Paul went there, started a church, and left them. And those guys crushed the enemy. And you might say, well, yeah, but that was a long time ago. There was no wickedness. Are you kidding me? Ephesus was one of the most wicked cities there ever was. There ever was. Literally, when they have excavated that, they literally found marble pillars, marble roads, marble ditches. They had the most abundant opulence you could ever imagine. But it was for a false god. And in that city, Timothy built the largest church of its day. And some scholars believe there was 100,000 people in Timothy's church around the city. David Oyedepo has 500,000 people in his church every Sunday morning. See, you can look around and find little tiny things and say, well, that's all God is, but it's not true. Brother Copeland, Andrew Womack, Brother Jesse, they literally preach to 3/4 of the globe every single day. 24 hours a day. Now that we have Facebook and YouTube, it is literally possible to be preaching somewhere in the earth 24 hours a day, every minute of the day. Increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. But what stops it is when you and I stop growing, stop developing ourselves, stop growing in wisdom and knowledge and stature, and then the favor with God and man. Well, but Pastor, God just loves me. Know my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And he's saying to you, fix your heart by my word and let me send you out to change your community. But Jesus had to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and favor with God and man. There's a lot of little Jewish girls, but only Mary found the favor to carry the Christ child. She had grown. She looked at herself and said, you got to grow. Let's go to, this isn't in my notes. Let me see. What do I give you next? I want to put this over here. Let's go to Titus. I was doing Read the Word last night. I saw this for the first time. Titus. Might like be a pastor. There ain't no Christmas verses in Titus. I know. Let me find this verse. I thought it was Titus. Maybe it's Timothy. Well, anyways, I found a verse yesterday. I thought, man, that's a powerful verse. I'm going to use that from now on. I thought it was in Titus. Sorry. Here's the reality of it. I'll find it, and then I'll get it. Let's go to Titus, and I'm going to give you a couple of verses, even though this isn't the one I was looking for. Titus chapter 1, and let's go to verse 15. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. Goodness sakes. But to those who are defiled, all things are, and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and their conscience is defiled. To the pure, all things are pure. Well, you might say, well, then, Pastor, what have I got to worry about? I'm the pure and all things are pure. Well, excuse me. You and I have got to grow in wisdom and stature and favor and grace with God. But you and I got to decide to make ourselves. We got to decide every day. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to live in the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father is going to live on the inside of me, and I'm not going to allow anything to stop me from becoming all of these things that God wants me to be every single day. Pause just a minute. I've got to make Sister Leanne a co-host, I forgot, so she can let people in that show up, even me. Hold on just a second. There you go. Hold on just a second. There. Now, I turned my phone on because before I'm done, I want to go show all y'all this amazing winter storm we're having. Oh, y'all got a storm, so I got one too. But watch this. To those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But to the pure, all things are pure. Well, once you're born again, now to everything to you should be pure. And there should be nothing else inside of you except I'm going to walk with God and be pure and holy. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, that's not the case with me. Well, what you've been trained to do is let your brain and what you see be the greatest thing in your mind rather than the truth in God's word. So there's only one thing you can do, and that is to begin to build this word as the largest force of your life. The increase of his kingdom and peace, there'll be no end. How do you get peace? You got to get the kingdom to increase inside of you. There's only one place you're going to get the kingdom bigger inside of you, and that's right here in the Word of God. Now, you might say, I don't know how. You're right. That's why you got to have a pastor like me. This pastor's got to have teaching. I got 1,000 of them. What's the answer? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And every one of us have to make that decision. Okay, that's it. No more of this frustration, confusion, and steal, kill, and destroy. I will have life. I have a Bible. God lives in me. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I will have life. And just like Jesus, who is the perfect example on this earth, I will grow in wisdom and knowledge and in favor with God and man. There's no way around it. 10,000 people may tell you, oh, you just got to pray a prayer and that's all that's important. No, that's not what it said about Jesus. I got some of them folks that's like, show me, Pastor. All right? I will. Second Timothy 3. Let's go to 14 through 17. Think about Jesus. He's got Mary and Joseph. People can look at that and say, those are just two humans. Well, Mary was highly favored and said yes and stood in faith. And Joseph was of the kingly crown, heirs of Judah. That's what God said to David. He was a king. He probably knew it, but he was a carpenter. Why? Because he wasn't allowed by that ruling force to enjoy who he was and be the king. So even though he was next in line to be on the throne, he was a carpenter. Verse 14, you must continue in those things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known, look at this, the Holy Scriptures. Not Wesley, not Moody, not Finney, not Calvin, not Billy Graham, Kenneth Copeland, or anybody else. You gotta get this nose, these two eyes, and these ears in this book, because it's only the Holy Scriptures that are going to be able to make you stand. Look what it says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, not denominational indoctrination. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's systematic teaching of God, for reproof, that means prove it to you again in Genesis, prove it to you again in Exodus, prove it to you again in Leviticus, prove it to you again in Numbers, and all the way through all 66 books. It's profitable for doctrine, systematic teaching, reproof, reproving and reproving and reproving. For correction. What is correction? A pilot gets in an airplane, goes off the ground, and he corrects his flight all the way, the whole time he's flying. He has to. Or he'll be way off. I remember when I was a missionary that one summer up in Alaska, and Roger Rinker was flying us out, and Lou Myers and all the different pilots were flying us out to these villages. And Roger always liked to let you fly the airplane if you wasn't afraid of it. So one day I was in the co-pilot seat like, you want to fly? I'm like, yeah, I said, as long as there's not something I can do that can mess the point up so bad you can't pull it out. He goes, I got it, man. So you grab a hold of the yoke, and you got a gauge here, and it's called an altimeter. And that's how high you are. And he said, keep it between 5,000 and 5,500 feet. So, you know, you're flying along, and the airplane's doing this, going up and down in that 500 feet, just because of wind currents, and we were a little 172 Cessna. But you watch that altimeter, and if you needed to climb a little bit, get up to 5,000, you pull out, and if you needed to go down a little bit because you was getting close to 6, push it in. And then you'd get a wind, and so you'd have to turn a little sideways and do a little yaw on it. So you had the altimeter. I don't remember what the next one's called. Attitude. And it's a picture of a wing of a plane. And what that is whether your nose is in the air or your nose is not in the air. But it doesn't matter. The whole time you're in the seat of that plane, you're continually correcting it to stay on course. Not correcting it, oh, you dumb, stupid kid of mine, you ain't never learning nothing. Well, no pilot says that to the airplane. He grabs a hold of the yoke, and he corrects it according to that altimeter and that attitude so that the plane is level and the plane is on course, not going way up, not going way down, and then your focal point, wherever it is you're going, which is a compass, that when you keep it, they just set it, and then that compass. And so Roger would say, well, keep it right there on that spot on the compass, and then you'd fly right to it. But you know what? You're continually correcting. Why? You got wind blowing. Whoop, there was a hole in the atmosphere. That's a very interesting situation when all of a sudden you drop 100 feet. All right? But see, the Christian life is no different. Paul's not saying it's profitable for correction because you got to have somebody standing over you all the time rebuking you and telling you how stupid you are. No. As you read it, you'll be like, whoa. Now that just adjusted, corrected my thought. This whole statement about Joseph being a king, that's totally adjusted all my view of the Christmas story. Why? Because the wise men brought a gift big enough for two kings. Joseph, who was the next in line to be king, and Jesus, who was our prophet, priest, and king. Of course they brought a big gift. Peter Daniels, the great Australian Christian billionaire, paid 7 men for 7 years to study how much the wise men brought to Jesus. He paid 7 men for 7 years to study that out of his own pocket. How many of you think they might have come to an understanding of how much the wise men brought? They traveled the world. They talked to rabbis. They went to where the Magi came from. For 7 years, they studied it, and then they wrote him a report. And the report said it was somewhere in the modern-day terminology. I saw Peter Daniels preaching and teaching this to the American church in 2003, 2004, and he said then it would have been about $300 million in that day's money terminology of how much they brought to Jesus. Well, Pastor, why would God do that? Because God don't want any of his children to ever suffer. The only reason you suffer financially is you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. I was talking with my kids and grandkids yesterday, Jesse and Andrew. And Andrew was telling me about being a car salesman out in California. And one of the first vehicles he sold was to a young lady who wanted this really big four-wheel drive truck built up, jacked up, big tires. And he's like, wow, this is going to sell for $100,000, brand new truck. But all of the, you know, all of the extra things that were put on it. And as he began to study the situation and learn, he learned that the young lady was Native American, and she lived on a reservation, and because they had a casino there, then she was heir of the finances that came from that casino. And this young lady, and I'm not giving any names, so nobody, nothing's wrong here. This young lady at 18 years old was making $20,000 a month. Now you might go, oh my goodness, if I only had $20,000 a month. Well, $20,000 a month ain't nothing if you don't know what to do with it. And the reason that the natives would come and buy those big trucks is because on the reservation, nobody cares about the roads. So the only way to truly make it is you got to have something that can go through all the roads that are not taken care of, like you and I have. And just because you have an inheritance and you make a lot of money, doesn't solve every problem of your life. And he said, Andrew said, as I began to take this truck and to deliver it, he had to drive out there. He stopped to fill it up with fuel, and God said to him, you're heir of much more than $20,000 a month. You just don't understand how to make the withdrawals like she knows how to make a withdrawal from her inheritance. Well, I'm showing you right here in the Word of God from the Christmas story that Jesus, once he was born, that's the great day. How many know that when Jesus was born, there was only so many hours left in that day? The celebration happened. The angels came and sang. The wise men showed up. But do you know what happened in another 8 hours? Mary fell asleep, woke up, fed Jesus, went back to sleep, woke up, changed Jesus' diaper, fed Jesus, went back to sleep. Joseph went, paid the taxes, came back. Mary's there, came back, went and did something, got some food, came back. You got to live this daily life. And certainly the greatest day that has ever happened in the history of the world was the day that Jesus was born. But you can't live on that day. You got to now grow that baby up. You got to now live the next day. The greatest day of your life is when you were born again. But you only get to live in that day for 24 hours. And now what's the next day? What must I do to be saved? Why? Because thank God for the day you were born again. But aren't you glad you don't still wear diapers? Where are you, Brother Roger? I need you to turn your mic on and say, the great, maybe Sister Leanne will, the great amen.
The great amen. It's just not the same.
Thank you, my
just
love.
Just not the same as when Roger says it.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the great amen. All of you, everybody on YouTube, type in the great amen. Now see, thank God that all through history, God established everything. And all through history, it was all set up that God was going to move mightily and powerfully. And he was going to bring it to us. And thank God that he brought it to us. Guess what? I know that verse was in Titus, but I don't see it. Maybe it was in Timothy. But the reality is, even though all of time stopped, even though the whole world was paying attention to the fact that Jesus was born on this earth, and that's what the whole earth does today. Tomorrow comes, and you and I have got to get our nose in this book and say, all right, I've got to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. To the pure, all things are pure. You gotta grow. Already? What, did I set it up wrong? I did. Sister Kathy, an hour of faith and then communion. Thank you for saying that. Yes, love. I was 115. Thank you. I'm looking for another verse, but I just don't see it. And that lady's going to keep going. Oh, there it is. It's Titus 1, 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, there it is, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. In due time, God sent his son to this earth. Thank you, Kathy. Sent his son to this earth to bring redemption to you and me. Let's look at one more verse here, and then we'll be done. Philippians chapter 2. God bless you, Sunday. It's good to see you signing in here. I know that we may not see many of our folks right now today because it's Christmas. I got to get me a cup of coffee. It's Christmas, and everybody's out doing something. And you got Christmas parties and I think our sister Rebecca had the greatest picture of Christmas presents. I love it. Man, it was stacked everywhere in that house. The whole family was coming over. And just in case you don't have a good Christmas meal, I want to show you mine. Papa John's. This is my Christmas feast I'm going to have today. Leftover pizza. You might say, that's gross. Well, it's not gross. I love it. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2. And this is verses 5 through 11. Our final verses for today. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Want to say it? I get to have the mind of Christ. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Look at verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, human, and coming in the likeness of God, of man. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him, gave him the name which is above every name, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father. Jesus' work was to humble himself, to become man. Our work in this book is to increase ourselves to the understanding that we are an heir of God and not just mere humans on this earth. And that is what you and I will spend every day from now till Jesus comes. That's what we will give ourselves to, so that we can know him and become just like Jesus. His work was to be God and become man. Our work is to be man and become like God. And be find ourselves understanding our inheritance and all of the blessings that he's brought to us. Because once you understand the blessing, you'll never live under the curse another day of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's about exactly 1 hour of faith. So let's pray, and then we'll receive communion together. Father, thank you for this wonderful word today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you gave us Jesus to come and to live within us. Thank you. Thank you that you are so determined that you never give up on us, not one single day. Not one single day. Thank you that on the inside, you live in us. Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, thank you that you live within us. Thank you. We choose to walk with you every single day of our life. Lord, manifest yourself to every person within the sound of my voice and to every person who will ever come and listen to this video. Manifest yourself to them so that they will see and know you and your ways. Walk with you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. And let's hear it, the great amen.
The great amen.
Thank you, love. I'm not supposed to compare. Awesome. I'm not supposed to compare humans, but there's just something about our brother Roger when he says the great amen. Love you, Roger. Bless your family and what they're doing today. That reference was Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I should have said that an extra time there. Thank you for putting those verses in, love. Now, let's receive communion. This is the greatest day Jesus came to this earth. But why did Jesus come to this earth? He came to this earth that he might be the supreme sacrifice for you and I. And we just read it. He became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross. And that's what gave us our life. Thank you, Jesus, for your birth so that we can have this life in Jesus' mighty name. I know there's a lot of Christmas traditions that are soft and they have candlelights and they're heartwarming and everybody feels good and that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. And enjoy them every day. Even your Christmas Day celebrations, whatever they are, enjoy. And remember, Jesus came and he gave his life so that you and I could live every single day with and through and for him. on this earth. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And get you some communion elements and be ready, and in a minute we'll receive you together. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work," his death. It's not just, "Oh, thank God he died." No, it's the fact that in the death, he redeemed you. Verse 28, "Let a man," this is what you do, "let a man examine himself and drink of the cup." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, "Love," God's love, "has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world, right here, right now, today. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that comes, that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And there should be no fear in the communion elements. The church for years has trained people that they should be afraid if they've sinned to come and take communion. That is not the word of God. If you sin, don't be afraid of the blood of Jesus. It's your only hope. If you've sinned, don't be afraid of his broken body. It's your only hope. Otherwise, you're damned to hell. Don't run from God. Run to him. "Pastor, why would my church teach it?" Well, it's a whole 50 years of church history that said, if you've sinned, you better stay away from church. Who would say that? A demonic religious spirit. I know I'm not the first guy to understand it, but isn't it something that our mouth and our words have not magnified to the whole body of Christ to drive out this false doctrine? I know great leaders. I know great leaders who still say, if you've sinned, don't come near church on the day they're taking communion. That's what Jesus said. As often as you eat this bread, and of course, lest you've sinned, don't get near it. See, that doesn't even make sense. I know I say this all the time, but it's because somebody's news with me today, and I want you to get this revelation. Quit running from the blood of Jesus. I know a person that when communion elements came, they started to get sick to their stomach. I thank God. That's because that devil don't want you putting the blood of Jesus on him. Don't run from it. Run to it. Don't run away from it. Run to it. Because that's the answer in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, and we'll receive our elements. I'm going to pray with Sister Leanne. Pray with you. You pray with Sister Leanne these words. We know we've been trained by mighty men of God to teach people to pray this prayer. And in 2 minutes, no matter who you are, no matter what nation you're in, no matter what you've ever done, in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you,
you give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
So Jesus, here's my bold faith statement. I believe you are the only begotten Son of God. And that you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your arms out and just receive it. Say, I receive you into my life, Jesus. Wait, I want to change that. Let's say this. Say, Jesus, I open up the door of my life and let you in.
Jesus, I open the door of my life and let you in.
I receive all of your love and your mercy. All of your grace and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You know, I put that different word in there because that's a verse of scripture that Jesus said, and I've been thinking a lot about it lately. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What door? Your heart. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So when we speak the word of God, the word has built in it its own ability to bring itself to pass because it is the written, holy, anointed word of God. Jesus, the written word, the living word. Now, those of you that just received him for the first time, what just happened? God Almighty just came to live in you, just like I read from Isaiah. Inside of you is mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the kingdom of God. It's in here. It's Jesus. It's the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, John chapter 17. It's all the way through the word of God that God said, I will come and live within you. You no longer are worrying about a God way out in the sky going to beat you with a club. He just came to live inside of you. He don't want to beat you with no club. He wants to guide your steps every day as you are one with him. Isn't it wonderful? It's one of the greatest things that can happen on Christmas Day all over this world. I was in prayer last night asking God. I'm like, Father, how many people around the world are we actually impacting every day with the message of your holy word? My goodness, when you go back and look at some of these videos we've made, even from years ago, 2 years ago, they've got 150, 250 views. Well, what's going on? People are finding them and they're clicking on them. And then they must be clicking on them again. Why? Because they have the word of God. Even though they're 2 years old, they're very much dated by the events of the day. It doesn't matter. It's filled with the word of God that is able to make you stand. And today, you just got filled with that same word, that same Jesus, that same God. And now he lives in you. Well, Pastor, where do I find the list of do's and don'ts? Don't have one. You got God living in here. And he will tell you. He will lead you. You will know what to do as you give him the proper place in your life, and that's Lord. It's just a process. You just learn how to talk to God, learn how to hear his voice. But see, you're not having to hear something that's coming from way out there. He lives in here. He's leading you in here. He's leading you in here. So a lot of people are like, I'm listening, Pastor. I can't hear him. But they're trying to hear God's voice speak from heaven like the day Jesus was baptized. No. No, he lives in here. Nobody can get between God and you unless you let somebody get down in here that don't belong in here between you and Jesus. All we're doing is just adjusting our life and getting everything in its rightful place. And then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Every day when you wake up in the morning, while you're laying there in the bed, just say, Father, thank you. You live in me. Help me walk with you today. And then all day long, talk to him like he's with you. Don't talk about God like he's a being that's way out there. Talk to him as if he is in you. It'll transform who you are and how you walk with God. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements. Hold them up. We'll pray over them. We'll bless them. We'll speak the word of God. Every word I'm getting ready to pray in this prayer is a verse of scripture about the body of Christ and about the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
There's nothing missing and nothing broken.
Because you came and lived inside of me.
Because you came and lived inside of me.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
From your broken body.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive the broken body of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you endured the cross. Despise the shame. You called it all joy. We now lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this prayer about the blood of Jesus from the word of God. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force on the face of this earth.
The most powerful cleansing force on the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
The accuser of the brethren can no longer have authority over me.
The accuser of the brethren can no longer have authority over me.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Glory be to God. The Lamb was born, lived, died, and stood in hell. Made a Lamb made all of hell shake and tremble. Glory be to God. Let's sing it. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, I turned my phone on so I could show you guys this amazing blizzard we're having, and the sun's out now. Isn't that cool? I just wanted to show you real quick. Don't worry about it. Some people are like, where did that go? Somewhere there.
We're just seeing the kitchen.
Well, anyways, that didn't work, did it?
No, well, if your phone is the co-host, your camera is still off there.
That's pretty wild. Once again, I can't seem to find that there it is. Oh, but if I don't turn the mic on, you can't hear it. Oh, never mind. I ain't worried about all that. Thank you for being with us today. It's a beautiful Christmas day here in North Dakota. And the wind's blowing like crazy out there, and the snow's blowing, and they got a big storm happening in Minot and Fargo and Bismarck. God bless them all. May they have a lot of snow. We got a lot here. Not really. We got about a foot, maybe a foot and a half now. Who knows? Anyways, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Whatever you got going today, may God richly bless you. For those of you that come in the future and see this Christmas program, may God richly bless you. Any way that we can help you walk with God, we will be glad to do it. My email address is right there in the notes of this program. Send me an email, ask me a question, tell me your story, give me a prayer request. Seriously, do it. And if it doesn't get through and you don't get an answer from me right away, send it again because it may not have got through. I know I had a very important voicemail that I needed to get, and it literally did not get to me for 5 days. Now, it's not because North Dakota doesn't have technology. We got technology everywhere here. We got the biggest oil companies in the world here. So we have technology, but it's just the day that we live in. I've been saying this for a while now, and I'm going to say it again right now. No matter what you do, do not be offended at an app or a piece of technology. I've been saying it for probably 6 months, but it is more true today than it has ever been. Be determined. I will master the technology. I will not allow it to master me. This morning, I'm trying to send you people, my loved ones, a Christmas message. Seriously, on my phone. I would edit it, and it would look right, and I would send it to one of you, and it would be wrong. And they would have extra words in it. You're like, Pastor, it doesn't happen. No, it happens. It's very frustrating. And Sister Leanne and I was talking yesterday. What was the words you said you can't, they don't give you edits for anymore?
Jesus and God.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
They will not autocorrect them. They say there's no replacement.
Yep. Yep. And it's just going to become more and more intense. But remember, all over the world, there's millions of Christians conquering every step of the way. So what is it? This is the statement the Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me. So you got opposition with your app. Force that thing to submit to the Word of God. When you wake up in the morning, declare, my apps work right. When they don't work, don't say they're not working. Say, my apps work right. What is it? You're speaking faith. Be blessed to you. Well, make sure you tell everybody you know Merry Christmas, because even the ones that are the hardest shell will let everybody say Merry Christmas to them. And if you do it like me, I capitalize the word Christ in Christmas so that they get that message. It's Jesus. He's the reason for the season. Until we see you again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Remember, we're only a phone call, a text away. And we'll be glad to be a blessing to you in any way we can. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this? When YouTube goes off and Blog Talk Radio goes off, Sister Leanne and I are still here on Zoom. If you want to come and say something to us, we'll be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, we love you.
We love you.
And God loves
and
you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus.
And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. To all of our friends around the world on Blog Talk Radio, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Whatever you got going on, take pictures and send it to us, because we'd love to see how you celebrate Christmas and New Year's and your communion elements in Jesus' mighty name.